Bible with you tonight, though. We'll be reading out of John chapter number 10, and then I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. If you can and will and able to, could you stand while I read the Word of God? When you're there, say amen. All righty. So the first verse, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but timneth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And out when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth therefore before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Ain't you glad that we know the Master's voice this morning? Amen. I wouldn't know where I'm at today if it wasn't for the Master. Then in verse 5 it says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will thee follow, flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers." Then I'm going to read in verse 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in the shall, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come to that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is in hireling, and not the shepherd, whose town the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and know of mine." Ain't you glad that the Master knows us? He knows his flock this evening. He knows every one of us. "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I receiveth of my Father." Y'all can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just allow this to be a good message tonight, Lord. Watch over each and every one of us, Lord. And if there's anybody out here who needs to hear this message tonight, Lord, just allow them to be able to open their hearts and hear it, Lord, and be able to be a light to them, Lord. I pray that you was to help each and every person out here, Lord. Heavenly name I pray, amen. So I'm talking about the Master's voice. That is the title of my message tonight. There's actually a funny way of how I got that title, though. I remember Granddaddy was out yonder. He's got donkeys at his house. And when we was at his house, I've got this little baby cousin of mine, and she wants to see the donkeys all the time. I went out there with her and was calling for the donkeys. They wouldn't come up. And I went in there and I grabbed Granddaddy. I said, "Papa, they ain't coming for me whenever I call them." I said, "Can you come out there and call them?" He called for them, and I was like, "How you do that?" He said, "You got to know the Master's voice. They know the Master's voice." I'm glad I know the Master's voice tonight. I'm glad that he knows us as his flock, and we can run to him, and we can hear the Master's voice. it's just amazing to hear that master's voice. Amen. So in John 10 and 5 and 8, you're hearing of the thieves and the robbers. I'll read over that one more time. It says in verse 5, it says, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the strangers." All that are, in verse 8, it says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Ain't you glad that we can, that we have a way tonight to see that that's not the master talking to us? Sometimes we don't always have that. We might think that it's the master, but it's not always the master. We've got to have our hearts, you know, tight with the Lord to know the master's voice. It's easy to go down that wrong path on listening to the wrong voice this morning. You've got to have good ears and a good heart. You got to let the master in. You got to pray. Make sure that it's the master's voice. Just because you hear a voice, whatever you're going through, you might have to ask God, you know, "Hey, can you help me out with this in my life?" The devil will stand in the way between you and the good Lord. Whenever that happens, it's very easy for the devil to conceive that. You know, it's misguidance is what it is. You gotta have the right master's voice this morning, or this evening. My bad. And then I want to talk about how we hear the master's voice this evening. In John 10 and verse number 7 over here, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Ain't you glad that he's the door of our flock tonight? There has been so many times in my life whenever I have needed him, he has been there. Whenever my mom was in that car wreck, I had to listen to the master's voice. I remember I was sitting right there, got down on my knees whenever I knew something was going on. I didn't know what it was. And I got down there and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And it was this right before I had gotten saved. You know, she had that bad car accident that happened, and spent 2.5 months in the hospital. And I needed the Lord more then. Well, I mean, I've needed him all the time, of course, but I really turned to him right then, and he has made a world of difference in my life. It's just amazing how he works. And then in John 10, verse number 14, we see the master. In verse number 14, it says, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and know and known of mine." I'm glad that he knows us. No matter who we can run to, you might be able to run to your family, your good friend, if you got a good friend, or just somebody that's been a light in your life. They ain't going to help you out nowhere near as much as the Lord has. He's always there. You can always run to him. Even when you have nobody or nothing in life, you can turn to him and you've got everything. You might feel like you've about this low in life, but whenever you have the Lord, you way up there in life. There ain't nothing that can take that away from you. That's always going to be with you as long as you're saved. He's always going to be there, which I'm glad that I opened my heart to him and got saved. That's the best thing I've done in my life. It'd be the best thing that anybody does. If y'all ain't saved tonight, I pray that you was to get things right, because it's the best thing that ever happens in your life. It has turned my world all the way around. I've made a 360 turn, it feels like. He has helped me out so much in my life. And then in verse number 27 and 28, it talks about how we follow the master. I'm glad that we get to follow the master tonight. And in verse number 27 and verse 28 down here, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In verse 28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I'm glad that nobody can pluck me out of the good Lord's hand tonight. you know, whenever my name is written in that book, it is written. There ain't nothing that nobody can do to take that out of there. There ain't nothing I can do to take that out of the good book. There, I mean, no matter what happens in your life, you might take a fall in your life. Even, I mean, it happens. People who get saved sometimes, they can fall low. But you've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. If you got the Lord in your life and you follow Him, then there you'll have a great life. You'll be able to be up there with the good Lord whenever you die. You know, He says, speaking about verse 28 there, it talks about eternal life. I'm glad tonight that whenever I lay my head down on my pillow tonight and close my eyes, if I was to die tonight, I know I got eternal life tomorrow. Once I get there, I'll be able to run with the good Lord, sing with the good Lord, go to church up there if they have church up there. Whatever they have up there, I'll be able to do it with the good Lord. And I'm thankful about that tonight, amen. But we need to follow Him in everything that we do. You know, the election stuff, if Kamala Harris would have got it, you know, I mean, I'm not real big on the politics or anything, but we would have definitely needed the Lord, because if things was going to be taking a turn for the worst, not for the best, but for the worst. And I'm glad that God seen fit to have Trump in, you know, have a God-fearing president for once. We finally got somebody who's going to hopefully do the best job that they can and, you know, be able to help the world out a lot better, make it a better place than what it already is. But I'm glad that I know my Master. I'm glad that I can hear the Master's voice. I can, not only can I hear the wrong voice, I can make sure that I can, if I pray hard enough, I can hear the Master's voice. Then I can also see my Master. I get to go to heaven with my Master. And then I get to follow my Master tonight. I'm thankful about that. Amen. Brother Mike.
Peter's closing message here was in his writings in 2 Peter chapter number 3. And one particular thought out of verse number 9 I want us to see here. He says, "This is second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Verse number 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Let's look at verse number 9 again. "The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I was studying this the other day, and I got to thinking about the long-suffering of the Lord and how He is so good to us, how He's long-suffering to us. And I got to thinking about what great compassion God has had upon mankind. And especially I put myself in the place here as Peter was writing this right here, and looking at my life, what great patience God has had with me. And what great compassion he's had. What mercy the Lord has had. And you know, he's had a great love for sinners throughout the ages. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And I thank God for his love today. The Bible says in Psalms 9 and 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. But he also says this right here in Ezekiel 33 and 11. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his wicked ways back to him. And so God is so compassionate, and God has so warned this world right here that we're just walking through this life for a short time, and it's God's will that all of mankind would be saved. You know, there's a lot of people in this old world that in my flesh I just don't like. And I just don't care for them. But God loves everybody. It's an amazing thought, isn't it, that God would look at all mankind and he's not willing that anyone would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Boy, that's a great picture of long-suffering, isn't it? And I want you to notice something right here in the book of Lamentations, what God says. He said, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Hear that? It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Ain't God good? Amen. And so I see the long suffering of God towards all mankind and towards me. Each and every one of us ought to be thankful today that God was long suffering to us when we was lost and undone in this old world. And just a step out of hell, a heartbeat out of a devil's hell. And God, he spared me, and he came to me one day by that of the Spirit of God, convicted me of my sins, and drew me with cords of love to a place of repentance. I wasn't looking for him, but he come looking for me. And he had mercy upon me and saved my soul from a devil's hell. And I want to be thankful tonight and say I thank God that he was long-suffering towards me. Listen, I want you to notice a couple of things tonight in Exodus chapter number 34. I want you to notice what God says here about his long-suffering. Exodus chapter number 34, if you want to turn there with me. God's way is described right here. His long suffering is described in these verses right here. It is God's nature of long suffering. He said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, speaking of Moses, and proclaimed or made known the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, listen to this now, merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Listen now. This is God proclaiming his nature to all mankind for Moses to go back and share it with the people right here. He says, I'm long-suffering, I'm patient, I'm filled with grace and goodness to all mankind here. But notice what he goes on and says right here. He says, abundant in goodness and truth. He says, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And listen to this now. That will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. God is saying, I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering. I want you to come to me while you can. He said, because there's a price to pay for sin. That price is still being paid by mankind today if they don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God that he offered me life one day, ain't you? Amen. Hey, listen to me now. He proclaimed his goodness and his grace, his long-suffering right here, and he offers a pardon to all mankind through that goodness and grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking down through the ages, God knew that one day he would march up Calvary's Hill, hang on an old rugged cross, and pay the sin debt for the sins of the whole entire world. Thank God that he paid a price to pardon us from our sins, because sin has wages, and God offers always, listen, God offers mercy always before judgment. That's the goodness and long-suffering of God. You can follow Him all from Genesis through Revelation. And God warns mankind about judgment to come. But God always offers mercy before judgment. And I thank God for His goodness. But notice also right here in this little passage of Scripture right here. It says, Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Hey, isn't it good to be able to worship God because He saved you? Because He was long-suffering to you. Because, hey, Brother Michael and Sister Terry, just in time, He reached down to where we was and He saved us from a devil's hell. Oh, He's worthy today of worship. Listen to me. As Moses bowed his head and fell on the ground prostrate before God, the Bible says, and he worshiped because God had promised him he'd be long-suffering, he'd be gracious, and he'd be good and full of truth to mankind there. And so he's worthy tonight of our worship and our praise. And so we see God's way of long-suffering as described in Exodus right here. But I want you to notice back in 2 Peter right here, we'll find that God's wrath is delayed because of His long-suffering. He speaks of the days of Noah right here. And the world in Noah's day, you know, it was a day of prosperity. It was a day when it seemed like everything was going good for mankind, but man was growing progressively more and more wicked in that day. And so God pronounced judgment. But you know that the Bible says that old Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Hey, listen to me. God offered Noah mercy because judgment was about to be pronounced upon the earth. Jesus said these words right here in Luke chapter 17. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so should it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. As Peter right here writes his last writings in the Word of God right here, he reminds mankind of what it'll be like in the last days. And then even in these last days, God is still long-suffering towards mankind. Though mankind is partying, living it up, and everything seems like it's going really good for mankind today, but hey, Peter's giving us a warning right here that judgment's coming one day. And let me tell you something tonight, friend. It's good to heed the Word of God tonight and listen to the long-suffering message of God as it was in the days of Noah. Listen to the Word that they rejected. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Peter was a preacher of righteousness in his day. For 120 years, I think Noah stood maybe out there and he'd work a while on that ark and he'd stand up and preach a while. And listen to me, he sent out the Word of God. He was a preacher of righteousness. I think he was telling mankind, get right or you're going to get left. Amen. That same message will still do in the day that we live today. Jesus is soon to come back for His church. And let me tell you something here. They rejected the Word of God and they received the wrath of God. But they had a choice to make. Just like mankind has in the day that we live. God is so merciful and long-suffering. He strives with mankind for 120 years. He was long-suffering in the world of Noah's day. And let me tell you something. The Word of God's been going out for 2,000 plus years now. Thank God for the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the men of God and the drawing power of the Spirit of God. I thank God that He anoints preachers to preach the Word of God and to get the Word of God and get the warning out to lost mankind because Jesus is soon to come. And let me tell you something, the wrath of God's going to be poured out upon this old world one day soon. And listen to me, you better be ready to meet Him when He comes. A lot of folks in that day of Noah, they were living for the world. Everything was looking wonderful in their day. They were partying, they were living it up. But mankind was growing progressively wickeder day by day. And judgment came upon them. Well, I can't imagine what it was like when Noah finished that ark. Wonder what it was like when he preached his last message. And when God called him and told him to come into the ark. Noah's family marched up that ramp into that ark. And I believe old Noah seen that his family was in. And we ought to see that our family gets in the ark. Do everything we can to get our families in before judgment comes. And I believe old Noah probably looked around to see if anybody else was coming. But God done told him to come on in. When he walked in, God shut the door. And let me tell you something. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. There's no promise of tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. We see that God's wrath, because of his long suffering, even in the days of Noah, his wrath was delayed for 120 years. But let me tell you something. God's will today, as it was in Noah's day, he's long suffering, not willing that any should perish. A lot of people may think God don't love them, but God loves everybody. And thank God he loves sinners. He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. And let me tell you something. All that ever came to Jesus, whatever they brought to Christ, whatever their need was, he refused none. He loved everybody. He healed. He forgave. He done everything he could in his day to show mankind how much God loved them. And he's still doing that today, in the day in which we live today. Salvation for all. But notice he says this right here in that verse number 9 right here. Not willing that any should perish, but listen to this, but that all should come to repentance. It's not 1, 2, 3, come follow me. It takes the Holy Ghost of God, convicted a man, woman, boy, or girl. And when that Holy Ghost grieves the heart for your sins, and he convicts you, you become guilty. But God says, now come. Come to me. I'll forgive you. Repentance means, as Brother Nicholas said, it's a turning around, Brother Nicholas. You don't want to live in that old life that you've been living in. But you repent and ask God to save you, and he'll set you on a new course in life. And I thank God for that. Listen, God's way of long-suffering is described. God's wrath is delayed because of his long-suffering. God's will is declared by his long-suffering. He wills that every man would be saved. But God's world is going to be destroyed. Listen, he goes on and he says right here, the day of the Lord is coming. He's not slack concerning his promise. He wants everybody to be saved. But let me tell you something. Don't put your hope in this old world. It's going to burn up one day. And I'm glad I ain't going to be here. I'm looking for the Lord to come. And what a great debtor to the Lord Jesus Christ I am. Long suffering. What a wicked man I was when God saved me. I was God's enemy. I was God's enemy. He loved me enough to save me and make me his son. And I love him, and I thank him for that tonight. I thank you for listening to me and Brother Nick tonight. We double-teamed him. We gave him a double Burl Rollins message here tonight. And I think Jamie's going to hit you next week with one. So stand with us tonight. Appreciate you being here. I want everybody here to know I love you and I appreciate you.